Turn with me, please, in your Bibles, if you have them, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I don't know if you have a physical Bible, but we're going to be reading out of the NLT. So go ahead, Pastor Joseph.
Okay, it says, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners." Now, most people... Romans chapter 5, verse number 6. Sorry, I should have started with that. Let's try that again. Romans chapter 5, verse number 6. "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners."
Amen. Amen, amen. I've been back from Thailand. Now, you can be seated. Praise God. I've been back from Thailand a little over a week now. While we were in Thailand, we had an opportunity to go to a local Bible college. And the last time that we met there, they had asked us to encourage the students. They were soon going to be graduating. And at this Bible college, it's kind of like a ministry training center where they bring them in, train them up, and then send them out to do amazing things throughout their region, throughout the country. And one of the cool things, you know, Pastor Powell asked me if maybe I had anything to share, and I prayed, "All right, God, what would you have me to say, if anything?" And I just felt the Holy Spirit just say, "Tell them I love them." And I wondered why, like, you know, they're in Bible college students. But later on in that meeting, before we did that, we had an opportunity to break off into groups and do prayer with them. And so in the group that I was in, just in the circle, there was a few different circles of people, men and women there. But just in the group I was in, the prayer requests, a couple of them were, one was that they were already pastoring and needed grace to continue to be faithful in the work that they were doing. Another one of the gentlemen was from a pretty well-respected ministry family in the area. And so, you know, he had an older brother and a dad that were pastors, and he was feeling the kind of pressure and anxiety to continue in the name of their family and as well as doing amazing things for God. And so they wanted prayer for grace. And then it clicked me as to why we would say God loves you. Because the reality is, like we saw in the scripture, see, because we could send out Bible college students and, well, then why would we talk about this tonight? Because you too are coming into God's house. And we know here in this house that we are all full-time ministers. So you come in and you know you are going to be sent out of this place to go be salt and light and spread the gospel wherever you go. So the word of the Lord for all of us tonight is that God loves you. Now, why does that matter? Because for these brothers and sisters and for you all tonight, what would happen if this young man felt like he just couldn't live up to the name of his parents or the ministry lineage that he had? What if he didn't know that God loved him? What if there was the weight of feeling like, unless I perform, unless I do X, Y, and Z, unless I'm ministering and preaching and praying over X amount of people, then what is it all for? Which takes us back to that scripture in Romans that is so powerful. Because while we were still sinners, come on now, while we were still sinners, God's death for us was not contingent about what he thought we might do for him. Because while we were still sinners, while we were in our mess, while we were still in need, not, "Oh my gosh, these guys have been good for me. Let me go and take one for the team. Hey, they've been praying for a lot of people. They've been spreading my gospel. Let me go ahead and pay the price." No, while we were still mocking and spitting on and driving in the nails, God paid a price for you and I. Amen. So that's why it's so poignant and so powerful to know that if we did nothing else, God loves us. Now, there's a lot of things, a lot of teaching that, you know, we can get into, but why focus on God's love? Well, that's a powerful and mighty subject. And so tonight, We're going to be talking about how he so loved us and what his love does for us and what I can now do because of God's love for me. Is that okay with anybody? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And I thank you, Jesus, for your word. I thank you for what you have already done, Lord God. And if you do nothing else, we are so grateful, Jesus. So now as we get into your word, Father, I pray, Jesus, that you speak to every heart and every mind in this place tonight, Lord God, that as I speak, that I would just be a vessel. I step aside, and I thank you for the words that you are going to speak directly to your people tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, so I'm an 80s baby, and so we had these things back when I was growing up called like tapes, cassettes, and when there was a song on the radio, that's why we like tune into the radio, and we liked the song, what we would do is kind of record the CD, right? Record the song. And we'd make a mixtape. So we liked this song, and then you got it finished. And if like the radio was tweaking out a little bit, you'd like miss the song and record awkwardly. Well, then we got real fancy a couple years later, and we got these things called CDs or compact discs. Anyone remember compact discs? Yeah. And so instead, these really cool things, we would like download mixtapes. And I don't know about you, I was a young little, what's up, little Mac, right? And so, just come on now. And so I would make mixtapes, there was this girl that I really liked, right? I was a teenager, right? This girl that I really liked. And so I decided to make her a mixtape. And now, granted, she had a boyfriend. Hey, but it wasn't a ring, though. So she had a boyfriend, and so I would put on this mixtape. I would put on songs like How I Would Be Better Than You, and there was this Babyface song. There was a lyric that said, like, that should be my house you're coming home to, right? Some of you maybe remember that song. I should be the one taking out the trash in this home, right? Like, it's just like, just songs about how I deserve your love. Songs about how he's a sucker. I'm the one that you want, and how I can make you happy, and what I can do to make you love me. Can I get an amen tonight? See, they don't do that like that anymore. Now it's, you had to really, and then you'd write on the mixtape, and then, you had to make sure you download it. Thank you for LimeWire and pirated music. Anyway, sorry. But these songs about really what I have to do to deserve your love, and sometimes it makes me think about us Christians. How we're kind of trying to make this case for God to love us. That, and God, don't stop loving me, and I'm worthy of your love, Lord, and I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do these amazing things for you, and I promise, on one knee, all these love songs, and, we're trying to raise up God, right? Like if we can impress him or do enough that he might love us. The problem is we miss it. We overlook the fact that we can't even understand a concept of love outside of God. Right? We can't do enough. See, the problem is with this notion that we could earn God's love or that we can do it, is it gets us in this trap. And then all of a sudden, it'll get so heavy and so tiring because you're just wondering if God's doing it. It's the same thing like if you're trying to chase a relationship. Does she like, these things? Or did you get the mixtape? Did you listen to it today, What'd you think, right? Like, and it gets tiring. And then if you just get brushed off, then maybe, I don't know if this whole God thing, right? I was talking to a friend of mine. He's an older gentleman, and he was talking about how he had gone to a hometown. And while he was in this hometown for an extended period of time, he got to visit the church that he grew up in. And his observation to me was that he didn't feel like much had changed. There hadn't been much change from when he grew up. Now, when he grew up, it was somewhat of a legalistic and religious church. And so as he's sharing with me, he's like, I realized that they don't really talk about God's love or the grace of God, but rather everything's about how what we got to do or how we can kind of measure up. And again, he was feeling like it was this legalistic thing, and you could tell it weighed on him, because it was almost, you know, he grew up in this church, and he had a legalistic home. And it made me think of my parents and how they had shared that they weren't allowed to go to the movies, weren't allowed to go to school dances. And so it created this thing of measuring, like, if you can't, you just couldn't do it the right way, right? Like, it wasn't going to be enough for you. But yet, if we don't understand that God loves us, we'll miss the fact that all the benefits that we have from his love. Or rather, we'll be kind of spinning our heads about what we can do to earn his love. Now, I understand in the scripture there's clear things that are his love responds in action for us, and we will execute those things. But the mere thing that differentiates our faith, being Jesus followers, is the fact, you know, other religions, you know, they have their gods, they have their deities, they have their philosophies, and all their gods require of them, do this, do that, or be smited, or be punished, or you must do all these things. We are the only faith. Come on, we are the only faith where the real and living God loves and cares for us. That's what differentiates us. But yet we want to be like these other faiths and religions where if I can just do enough, if I can just maybe make myself measure up, but we miss the distinctive of our God, that he wants a relationship with you and I. And so if we can understand that he loves us, then what it's going to do is open up our eyes to see how beautiful our faith really is. So tonight I'm talking from the topic. Well, first let me share this with you. 1 John, chapter 4. We're going to be in 18 and 19. 1 John, chapter 4, 18 and 19. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. So we couldn't even grasp love. We wouldn't even be able to understand love unless he first loved us. So as followers of Jesus here on this earth, we have the unique ability to be able to truly love others in a spirit of true love, but because God first loved us. So if we try to walk out of this place, if we try to walk as believers only in what we do, only in the great works that we can do and the awesome faith that we have, but yet we miss God's love for us. You know, being around church for so long, it's exciting because you get to walk with people along in their faith. But there's a lot of moments in because you see people walk away from the faith. You see them leave what they once knew, and you're pondering, how could someone who was doing such amazing things, how could someone who seemed to have such a great relationship with God walk away from the faith? And I can't help but wonder sometimes if it was all about this exterior thing and they were never really able to accept and receive God's love for them. See, because the weight of the things that we have to do just gets kind of like, that's what people choose to walk away from any God. But yet what makes us distinct, what allows us to follow Jesus in a way is the fact that he loved us first. He loved us first, amen? So tonight, accepting God's love. Accepting God's love gives us a few things we're going to be talking about tonight. The first thing is freedom. Amen? Anybody like freedom? You know, this is an easier term for us to understand, being that we live in this great nation. We have a lot of freedoms. You don't have to look too far, turn on the news too much to realize that there are places around the world that they don't have such liberties. But yet sometimes in our own faith, we live in bondage. In our own faith, we live trapped and not really the full life that God intends for us to live. And so we're going to see in Scripture tonight how by accepting the love that God has for us, at receiving what he has already bestowed upon us, we can walk and live in a freedom that he's called us to. Amen? There's this personality on social media that kind of has been catching some traction. There's this called trad wife, right? Or really a traditional wife, where they live by traditional values. She cooks and cleans and raises her children. She homeschools them. She lives with her husband, and she's gotten a lot of followers on social media. So this newspaper comes in and does an interview under the guise of, hey, we've noticed that you've caught notoriety. We want to interview you and see what's going on, talk about your life. So they do this interview. Well, the interview actually spins everything. And then they write this article about how this woman is oppressed. She's trapped. She's abandoned her dreams. She had trained to be a dancer, and her husband made her abandon those things so that she can take care of children, all while having to do all these things. And it was catching all this traction on social media. And in the comments, they're like, blink if you need help, and I'll send help your way, right? It's portraying this idea like this person was trapped in this lifestyle that she had, from what she says, chosen to live by. And it makes me think again, I wonder if that's how the world looks at us. Like if we just live by these antiquated rules, following this God from this outdated book that has nothing to do, hasn't really caught up, it's not progressive, and sees us again in this trap of, man, if you could just be free from that religion thing that you're doing, if you would just do it this way, we live real free lives. But let me show you where the mistake is in that thinking. Where the world would be right is to think that religion is trap. Where the world would be right is if it was accurate that we just were relegated to some rules that we had to live by. But they show that they don't know our God. They show that they don't really understand what it means to be loved by God, and how receiving his love enables us to be free. See, religion, let me show you in the scripture here. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. See, what religion couldn't give you, what rules and regulations and laws was not able to give you, Jesus sets you free. We are set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we can live free. We're not relegated under some rules and regulations that if we don't obey, then we're just going to be punished, or if you don't live by a certain creed, then I'm going to get you. That's not the God that we serve. Now, we have the Holy Scriptures, and it is clear to us how we are to live holy lives and the plan that he has for us. But we are not trapped. Come on now, don't feel sorry for me. I live freer than a lot of people. I live free because of Jesus Christ. I live free because of the blood that was shed on the cross. I am not bound by sin. I am not bound by rules and laws. And if you walk in the love of Jesus Christ, there is freedom for you as well. See, because religion will steal from you. Religion will try to trap you in and make you feel some kind of way that won't really let you be free. I was referencing earlier how my parents were raised in maybe a little more religious and legalistic home where they weren't allowed a lot of things. In fact, there was probably a lot less things that they could do than what they weren't allowed to do. Right? And that feels like a whole lot of bondage. See, but what religion was trying to do and what we'll still try to do is kind of like, if we don't paint the whole picture, you know, because it's a big bad world out there, then this is how I'm going to control you. See, but religion will control it. Even the law of Moses, if we go back into what was happening in these biblical times, there was the law of Moses, and then these religious leaders added hundreds more laws. Why? To try and control people. So there was the law that God gave, and then religion or man or bondage tried to say, hey, here's even more rules. Here's even more laws. Here's even more things that you can't do. And it creates a noose and bondage that God doesn't design for us. Let me give you an example. Let's just be, can we be real in God's house today? Even in Christian circles, sometimes what we can paint ideas because it's almost like if we don't trust the church, right? And not in this church, we've talked about it, but let me give you an example, a hot topic. Something like drinking, right? In more maybe legalistic atmospheres, it's kind of like we can't really tell them they can drink because they just might. But the thing is, scripturally, it is not a sin to drink. But if I sure make you feel like it is, then now you are not really walking in freedom, you're walking to a law. Now, here comes the disclaimer that we always feel like we have to have, right? Now, we as your pastors and leaders, we don't drink, but not because of a rule or regulation. That's our personal choice. The Bible is clear about drunkenness, but it's almost like there's these things that we can add, these extra laws on top of the Bible that we can add in the name of trying to protect you. In the name of, but really it can often be control because then you're not really living under the freedom. That's why was the tree of good and evil even there? Because there was freedom. Had that tree not been there, then they would have just been like, well, you're gonna do good, you have no option to do bad. Right? But Eve chose to take the tree and there was Adam right there with her. But there was that liberty, there was that freedom that God has always intended right from the garden for us to live under. So God is not an oppressive God. Following Jesus is not some oppressive religion. Again, don't feel sorry for me. Come on. Because I am free. Because of what God makes me free. I don't have to be bound to sin. I don't have to be bound to addictions. There is freedom in Jesus Christ that is available for all of us in this place. Amen. Next thing, accepting God's love gives us hope. Somebody say hope. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, we're going to read out of the NIV tonight. We're all over the place in translation. Is that okay? Yes. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Reread this thing, and it's just, oh, that's cool that we could have hope. As I was doing some study on this scripture, and this was a letter written to the church in Thessalonica, it so happens that this idea of hope was not such a common theme. It was in fact, the religions of the time, the other religions and spiritual walks that people practice was actually very hopeless. So when Paul to the believers is writing that you would have hope, it's kind of like this, now we name our children hope, we have hope all over your walls, a hope tattoo, you know, like it's kind of like a cheap word because like, oh yeah, hope, like we can have hope. Why can we know hope? Because of Jesus, because of Christianity, because of this faith that we have in our Lord and Savior, hope can be this word that we can know and understand. But it was this radical concept as it was being introduced by the Apostle Paul here. So see how even then, by giving and explaining the love of God, revolutionizing the world and now offering hope to people who had no hope. We're in San Bernardino. We can relate. This is the Inland Empire. We've long been called the armpit of California. Right, I remember Pastor Dan years back mentioned how there was that article had been written, how this is where people come to for to have their dreams die. A hopeless city, a hopeless region. Nothing good happens here. But here comes a church, a beacon of light in this place that follows an amazing God, that can speak of hope, that can say, hey, we don't have to look like the rest of our city. We understand there's lost and dying and hurting people, but that's not how we're gonna live. That's not we're not gonna go into this hopelessness, but rather we are gonna be hopeful about what God can do in our lives, what God can do in our families. So can I tell somebody tonight, I don't care what the doctor told you, you can have hope. I don't care what your bank account says, you can have hope. I don't care what your spouse is saying, you can have hope that there is a life in front of you that's better than the life behind you. Amen? We have hope. Why? Because God so loves us. And this love of God, when we receive and accept his love, we can attach hope to it. Come on. This is some good stuff. This is some good stuff. Last thing, I told you I'd be quick. Accepting God loves gives us worth. It gives us worth. Let me show you. So when you see worth, it somewhat can be interchanged with value, with the term value, right? Something's worth or something's value. Value is defined like this: the regard that something is held to deserve, the importance, worth, or usefulness of something. Accepting God's love gives us worth. In Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. We just defined value or your worth. Right? Another simple way is that something's worth what is paid for it, right? All right, you're selling your house. What's your house worth? Well, this person says this. Well, I'm going to pay you this for it. So put your car up for sale. Are you asking this? This is what it's worth, what somebody paid for it. What about your life? We just saw that Jesus paid the price of his life, his blood. I would say that the value of Jesus' blood is pretty something else, wouldn't you say? So that means the value that's been placed on your life is the value that God put, which was his only begotten son that he sent on this earth to shed his blood. See, when you and I, when we sinned, the price that was now due was our life. We deserved death. Bloodshed was required. But Jesus stepped in and paid the debt that should have been ours. And he paid it with his life. He wasn't deserving. We were deserving of a horrible death. He wasn't deserving. He had done no wrong. He was sinless. He was spotless. He was perfect, yet he paid it all. And that's the value that you and I carry. So that's why when I look at my brother and sister, whether I agree with them, like them, whatever, I need to regard them with the utmost value that God places on their life. That's why when I look in the mirror and I don't feel so happy about it, I don't like how I look, I don't like how I feel, I have to remind myself that I've been bought with a price. And that price is the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of our Lord and Savior. And that's the high value that is on your and our life. Yet, we find ourselves often wondering about our worth. See, it would be easy, you know, going through a few points tonight, hey, that was good, send you home. But I believe what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us tonight are these different things speak to challenges that we have in our life. Because we don't always see the worth, or we misconstrue where our worth comes from. Like we talked about kicking off, like our worth to God comes from what we can offer him. Why? Because that's what the world teaches us. Right? What are you worth to me? Value added. What can you add to me? What value do you have for me? Our bosses are saying that. The world is saying it. Potential, you know, people that we're looking for, maybe spending some time with, right? They're asking, what are you going to do for me? What's the value added to me? But it's flipped upside down when it comes to God. He's saying, I give you your worth, and I want to be with you. I give you your worth, and I want to spend time with you. I care for your company. I care for your company. It is worth it for me to spend time with you, God says. I think of a story. There was this professor one time. He was an academic, well-respected within his practice, well-beloved in his community. He decided that he wanted to give back more. And while he already had 5 children of his own, he wanted to adopt. So he adopted a young boy that was in foster care, a teenage boy. He had been in and out of foster homes because of his violence, his anger. He had trouble wherever he went. He wasn't listening to people, and so no one really wanted him. And so this man decides to bring him in. And so every time he would get in trouble at school, this man decided to love him. When he'd get kicked out of school or sent home for fighting, he chose to love him. When he talked back or stole, he chose to love him. Until one day, this boy actually started to sense a love that he had never felt before. He had never experienced it. Well, one day the professor wakes up to a note. And on the note said, "It was only a matter of time before you saw the real me, and you decided to run away." See, he didn't feel like he could be worthy of love. The value that he had placed on his life, regardless of what this man, his adopted father, could do, the boy just thought it was a matter of time before you see the real me. And I feel like the message that the Holy Spirit has for us tonight is that so many of us struggle in this area. We attach our worth to what's been said to us, to what we've been able to produce, what we've been able to do. That our worth in our head, we can't really wrap our mind around a God that so loves us, that isn't asking for things from us before he loves us. See, unconditional love is not something that we come across regularly in this world outside of believers like you and I that would go out and do this, which is why it's so important that we love people unconditionally, which is why God commanded us to love people, because the only love that some people may get are from a Christian, are from a believer, someone that might say, I don't even know you, but I love you. I don't like what you stand for, but I see the value that God paid for you, and I'm going to see that same value, and I'm going to love you. Because what the world needs is not more money, someone to be in power, certain rules and laws. Sure, those all might be great for a society, but what the world needs more than anybody is for the love of God to permeate the hearts and lives of the people around us. But that's going to be a difficult feat if we don't first understand that God loves us. Remember, we saw in the scripture, we love because he first loved us. Yeah. If I could have the keys come out. I want to read this scripture to you. Last scripture, we'll be closing out. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read 35. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or are threatened with death? We'll pause right there, because sometimes we think that because we've experienced hardship or trouble, it's because God is upset with us because we've done something wrong. Because it's this warning, like if you keep going, then here comes God ready for you to mess up so he can smash you. But we have to go on to see what the verses say, talking about God and his love. Picking up in verse 37, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Verse 38, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below, indeed. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The title of the message tonight was Accepting God's Love. We're talking a whole lot about love. But one of the main things is not a contingency, but rather for us, what are we going to do? I liken it like this. We're in the middle of the Olympics right now. Say someone tapped on you to go pick your sport, whatever, you know. For me, it'd probably be, maybe soccer, right? The U.S. didn't make it, but whatever. It'd be on the soccer team, right? Or for you, you pick the sport. Boxing, pole vaulting, whatever. Gymnastics. Oh, I'd probably do gymnastics, that one ring thing, right? And you get tapped on, hey, I need you to go represent the USA. We're going to coach you, get you ready, get you prepared. Go win us the gold. Do all the training. So imagine getting coached, being told all these things, getting prepared. But yet, you get so worn down. You're not given breaks, not given water. They're not real care, but it's like, hey, go win, go bring back the gold for us. The thing is, that's how some people look at God, as this coach that's saying, go out and do a whole bunch of these things for me. But God, you didn't give me water. You didn't give me the rest that I needed. In this case, we're talking about God's love. See, because in this illustration, we have to see that God's rest is available for us. In the same way, hey, you have to take your break. I offered you your break, but you didn't take it. You get so focused on other things. I offered you water and fuel and refreshments, but you didn't take it. But yet we can pit God in this place as some kind of person that just wants to take from us and expects from us without any of this support. And here's God offering his love, but so many of us elect not to receive and accept all that he has for us. So we don't accept the rest that he offers. We don't accept when in his word says that to cast your cares on me, or let me carry your burden. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Yet we want to carry the burdens of our life. So we won't find true rest. We won't feel loved outside of receiving. In other words, his love is available to all. But you have to accept the love that he has for us. I want to pray for us tonight.
We're going to do the chorus.
Because, there's such a sweet spirit of God. And, it's a great thing to think about God loving you. But then if you leave this place and all that you're thinking about is all the reasons why you're not worthy, or all the reasons why it won't work for you, or you let your shame or your past or these things, we have to accept God's love. Because can I tell you something? It actually has not so much to do with you as much as everything to do with Jesus. In other words, you give yourself too much credit to think that you can work your way out of God's love. Like you're not that cool. Right? Like you're not strong enough to separate you from God's love. But you have to receive it. Heavenly Father, I come before you and I thank you, Jesus, for your love. We saw in your scripture tonight the benefits of receiving and walking in the love that you have for us, Jesus. And I would pray that as your spirit is in this place, that it would speak to our hearts and bring comfort to us in knowing that we are loved, Jesus. We thank you that you guide us. We thank you that you are there for us. In your name we pray. Amen. These last couple moments before I have Pastor Joseph come up, I just want you to take one quick moment. A like we do in the main sanctuary services, the morning services rather, to reflect on the impact of God's love for you. Start to kind of culminate on how God has loved you. Maybe some of the things that you've allowed or ways that you've allowed yourself to not receive his love, and allow the Holy Spirit to start to change that in your heart. Amen, amen. Pastor Joseph.
Amen. Aren't you thankful for the love of God tonight, church? Isn't that so good? But I tell you what, we could all take some time, and it would do us good to think about just how much he loves us, what he's done for us. Amen. Hey, I wonder, do we have any first-time visitors in the building? If you do, we'd like to give you a warm, loving Rock Church welcome. So if you'd be so kind and so bold, just put your hand up at me like this and wave it at me. Hey, the ushers want to put something in your hand absolutely free. We got somebody right back over here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else got their hand up? Eden, right over here. Yeah, there she is. And anybody else? Well, so glad that you joined us today. If you are here for the first time, please feel free to text the number on the screen. Text hi, and we want to send you a little information about the church, just let you know who we are, what we're about. We want to make sure that you feel right at home in your Father's house. If you're looking for a home church, this is a wonderful one, and so we humbly submit our application. If you're at another home church, hey, we want you to go where God wants you to go. So, but give it some prayer, and if God's calling you here, we'd be happy to have you join us. We'd also like to welcome those of you who have joined us online as well. If you'll text hi, the number on the screen, we'll send you that same information. Once again, we are so glad that you are here. Amen. Hey, we just got done hearing the word of God. What do you say tonight that we worship the Lord with our substance and we bring with joy our tithes and our offerings, knowing that God is unwilling to abandon a cheerful giver whose heart is in their giving? I actually have another verse that I want to encourage you with. This comes out of Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. This is out of the NLT, and it says this. Listen to these words: give and you will receive. I like that. That's confident. That's not, it's not give and you might receive. It's give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Come on, somebody. Running over and poured into your lap. I don't know about you, but I could use some pouring over into my lap. Come on, somebody. It says the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. How many of you know today that God is not mocked? Whatever a man or a woman sows, that will they also reap. God has a system of the way things operate. There are laws, and when you are faithful in your tithes and your offerings, and you are faithful to do that which God calls you to do and give, God says, hey, listen, there's a promise attached to your giving. It's going to come on back to you, and when you find yourself in need, you're going to find men giving into your bosom. Amen. And so we have a way to make sure that when we're in need, things are coming back to us as we are faithful in our tithes and in our offerings, all right? And so today, the ushers are going to be standing on their feet right now. If you brought a physical offering to the house, that is cash, check, debit card information, you can raise your hand in this moment. They'll give you that envelope. You can fill out your information, drop that offering in there, and we'll receive it in just a few moments. And don't forget about this. We will send you a tax-deductible receipt at the end of the year. You can take that to your tax guy and get a little write-off, all right? So please make sure you get your hand up. Please make sure you fill that out as well. Don't forget about our very convenient digital ways to give. They are on the screen behind me as well. Man, you can tap to give today right there on the seat in front of you. If you hold your phone up to the little card you'll see on the back of your seat and follow the prompts, you can give that way as well, all right? Let me go ahead and pray, and then we'll receive the offering this evening. Amen. Let's bring our hearts before the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to give. Father God, we worship you tonight by fulfilling your desire for us, which is to bring all the tithe into the storehouse. And Father God, today we give with joy. We give because we get to promote the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ with our substance. Lord, there's a whole lot of people out there giving to a whole lot of things. Well, today, Lord, we get to sow into the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, we ask that you'd bless this offering. Lord, we ask that you'd bless our church. Lord, we ask that you'd help us to be more fruitful in getting the gospel out, both here in the Inland Empire as well as around the world. And Father, as we read from your word this evening, we thank you for blessing and caring for every need of the givers tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody in agreement with that said, amen and amen. The ushers are standing to their feet. They're going to receive that offering as they do. I got a few announcements for everybody. Number one is this. We've got Reverend Al Fury with us. He's going to be with us this Wednesday, August the 7th, all right? And so if you want to be blessed and hear a great word that's going to transform your life, and why don't you go ahead and invite that coworker that you've been thinking about inviting to church and get them here. They're going to hear a wonderful word, and they are going to get saved. Reverend Al is one of our missionaries that we support. We've supported him for years, and I believe he is over in Peru, right? We got that clear this morning. He is in Peru, and he goes all over the world as well. And so you're going to want to be here to hear a great word. Also, we've got Summer Night Connects. That means right after service tonight. Everybody say tonight. We're going to be connecting with one another. How many of you know that one of the wonderful blessings we have being a part of the body of Christ is we are family, right? We are family. All right. So please hang out a little bit afterwards, right out here in the foyer, in outer foyer. We've got some giveaways, some free things, refreshments and whatnot, and as well as some games. And we want to make sure that you get connected with people in the house. Amen. We've also got Women Rock PM coming up this Friday, August the 9th at 7 p.m. Yeah, come on. Where are the ladies at? All right, you're going to want to come early at 5:30 for dinner vendors and then connect time. And then childcare is available, okay? You're also going to hear a powerful word that is designed just for you, ladies, all right? And so you're going to want to be here. It is going to be awesome. Finally, we've got the Rock Christian School, our very own private school where your children can learn about Jesus in a safe environment and not be indoctrinated by all the nonsense that is in the world. Amen. All right, apply online or call the church office to get more information. We'll make sure to get your child signed up. They are going to be blessed. Hey, I'm done talking. We've got one more announcement, so if you give your attention to the overhead screen, and then Pastor Antonio will be up to close out the service. God bless.
A church in San Bernardino. A church aflame. A church desiring to seek the face of God. For 2 days, we are going to gather to worship and dwell in His presence and be filled with the power of God and shake the ground of an army filled with all generations, all tribes, and all tongues.
There's actually still mentorship and gifting on your life. There's actually still a call. You didn't miss it because you didn't do it in your 20s. You didn't miss it if you didn't do it in your 30s. You didn't miss it if you didn't step into it in your 40s, no matter your age.
You have a grace that is sufficient. You have an anointing that annihilates the yoke. You have a gift that cannot be revoked, a destiny that cannot be stopped. You have mercies that are new every morning. You have the strength of the Father, the grace of the Son, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hey, you have Jesus. You have everything you need.
Sign your little ones up for Rock On Kids. They'll hear a powerful message and amazing worship on their level, plus fun games and activities. Group discounts are available, lunch is included in registration, and early bird ends August 15th.
Come receive the grace to walk in power and authority. You will be forever changed.
We are so excited about that. We've had women's conferences, we've had men's conferences, we've had young adults, we've had youth conferences. We are doing an all-church conference. Expect nothing less than all. God has always showed up, and so we are excited about that. Get registered. I was speaking with a sister today. She If you remember, initially the deadline for the early bird was going to be August 2nd. So she rode her bike up here to church in the heat. She said she had to catch a bus, then ride a bike to get here to pay for her registration. She wanted that early bird. Bless her heart. I believe God's going to show up for her. So get registered. Hey, before we leave, we have an important thing to do tonight. You know, in studying, we talked about the love of God, right? And studying out this love of God, I was able to see throughout Scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loves the entire world. But there's also this distinction that we see in Scripture as well, that there is a love for the entire world, and there's also a love for his beloved church, or those who are in covenant with him. Now, what does that mean? That's a fancy word for in relationship. In other words, those who are followers and believers of Jesus. So tonight, I want to lay before you a question, a thought that you examine in your own heart, in your own mind, that if your life were to end today, God forbid, where might you spend your eternity? See, eternity is promised to all of us. All of us will take a last breath on this earth. But upon that last breath will be our first breath in eternity. So the question that you must ask yourself, the question that I have to ask myself, is where will I spend my eternity? Will it be in the presence of God forever and ever, or in hell? Now, God didn't create hell for us, but he will allow us. So again, I know this is kind of like this sobering thought or topic, but I love you enough to tell you the truth. And I love you enough to tell you that heaven is available for all of us. But in this examination, you have to recognize the potential answers that you might have. See, maybe you think you'd go to heaven simply for the fact that you are here in church tonight. The challenge with that thought is that nowhere in Scripture, nowhere in God's Word, nowhere in the truth of His Bible do we see that attending church. Do we see that by your good deeds? Do we see by the good acts like we talked about tonight? Will those things get us into heaven? It's just not there. You know, maybe you think you grew up in a Christian household. I'm glad. That's awesome. But again, nowhere can you find that simply by coming from the right household, from the right home, does that mean that you are a follower of Jesus? Hey, we live in an American culture, our society for the most part, we're Christian-ish, right? We have a recollection of Jesus. Again, when we were in Thailand, I had an opportunity to share with someone. I said, we're here to tell people about Jesus. Do you know who Jesus is? He literally had no idea. We wouldn't find that in our society. We're kind of, for the most part, all aware of Jesus, at least as a spiritual or religious figure, whether people or not believe in who he says he was. But again, just because we understand who Jesus is, or maybe celebrate Christian holidays, that does not make us a follower of Jesus. Again, we're talking about heaven. It's God's heaven. We have to get there God's way. In the book of John chapter 3, we see this man by the name of Nicodemus. He was a spiritual leader, well respected. He approaches Jesus and he asks, "What must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven?" Or, "What must I do to get to heaven?" Now again, if we're going based on what we think in society for the most part, well, Nicodemus, you do all the right things, you're kind to the poor, you think the right way, you have the right way of doing things, good for you, man, we'll see you there. But that's not how he responds at all. It's shocking because by those means, we for sure would have thought Nicodemus would be there. But he tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now it sounded as crazy to Nicodemus as it might sound to you and I, because this idea of being born again, what does that really mean? What he's saying and what it's always meant throughout the Bible is that to inherit the kingdom of heaven, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must make him our Lord. We must make him our boss. Now, we talked about our liberties and our freedoms. We live very independent lives. You know, we live life by our truth, by our way of thinking, of doing things. But to be a true follower of Jesus, we're saying, Jesus, you're boss. You're the Lord. Not how I understand, not how I want to do things, but how you say to do them. That's what it truly means to be born again. And I love you enough to tell you the truth tonight that many of you are not living your life as if Jesus is the Lord of your life. Again, the Bible makes it clear there's not room for this little bit in, little bit out. I like this way of doing things. I accept that, but I don't accept that. I want to continue to do this. I'll do that. That sounds good. I can adhere to that. It's not a pick and choose Jesus. It's an all or nothing Jesus. So tonight, the invitation, in a moment, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three, clap my hands. When you hear that sound, just like that, I want you to get your hand up. This is the invitation. The invitation for eternal life. The invitation to know God, have life and life more abundantly. But we have to do it His way. And we must be born again. That means I'm inviting you for something crazy, to surrender your life as you know it. And to choose to follow Jesus. Seems like a big thing, but I promise you, it will be the best decision that you will ever make in following Jesus. A complete surrender. Maybe you're thinking, I've done that before, or I don't want to be embarrassed. That'd be embarrassing. Why do I have to raise your hand? Look, raising your hand is not what gets you saved. It's not the act of raising your hand. But I want to challenge you in this way. In a world where following Jesus is not exactly the coolest thing to do, I want to encourage you, where there are people praying for you to raise your hand, that you would be so bold as to recognize. Let it be an outward expression of what we are declaring inwardly, that we need Jesus. We want to surrender. So by raising your hand, we're making our first bold step as followers of Jesus to say, I surrender my life. I know I need Him, and I want to follow Him. Get ready to get your hand up all over this place. You know I'm talking to you. You know you're not living the way you should. You know you have yet to make Jesus your Lord. The invitation is for you. We love you in this place. God loves you, and I showed you in Scripture how much He loves you. Receive His love tonight. Put your faith in Him. One, get ready all over this place. Two, if you're not sure, make sure tonight. Maybe you've done this before. This is your night of salvation. Three, let me see your hands. All over this place. Let's see your hands. Get your hand up. Just go ahead and raise your hand. There's a hand there. Hand there and hand there. Thank you. It's three. Anyone else? Anyone right here? I see that hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Another hand over here. See that hand? Thank you. Look, I didn't embarrass them. Take just another moment. I think that's five. Five bold, wise people in this place tonight. Who else? I want to give you that opportunity, give you that chance to put your faith in Jesus. It's an invitation to say yes. Anybody else tonight? Amen, amen. Come on, let's give God a hand for those five people. We thank you, Jesus. Hey, if we could do this, the next thing we want to do, if we could stand up, if you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, kind of thought about raising your hand, come on down. We're going to clap for you. We're going to cheer for you because we want to say a prayer. So let's welcome them as they come down. Come on, let's get you guys on up here. We want to pray with you. Come on up. Come on up. We love you. Shy out now. Come on, we're cheering for you. We're so excited. If you raise your hand, we want to say a prayer with you. Okay. All right. Come on, here we go. Okay, we're going to pray. We're gonna, you come a little bit closer. It's okay. And in this prayer, it's not magical prayers. And maybe for those of you who you decided not to come, all right, that's cool. But I want you to say this prayer. If you are really serious about following Jesus, we're going to make a prayer. It's not magic words, but it's a declaration. The Bible says if we believe in our hearts, and confess with our mouth that we shall be saved. All right, so we're going to make that declaration. I'm just going to go ahead and repeat this after me. Everyone's going to repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I come to you as a sinner in need of a Savior. I thank you, Jesus, that you so loved me that you paid the price for my sins. I receive your salvation. Wash away my sins. Make me clean. Make me whole. I declare that I am a new creation, forever changed. My old life is behind me, a new life in front of me. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. This is our friend Matt. If you wouldn't mind just following Matt, he's gonna share some information with you. See, the cool thing about what happens next is that you're starting a brand new life. And so we wanna equip you, get you the right tools and information that we know is a proven track of how you can follow Jesus in a way that, give us a year from now, you're gonna find yourself in a brand new place. So come on, can we give it up for them? Go ahead and follow Matt. Thank you, Matt. Hey guys, it's our Connect night. We want to make sure that you enjoy yourselves tonight. Our children's ministry has worked hard to host a great time tonight. Get to know somebody. We say in young adults, you're not allowed to leave until you meet somebody. All right, so you're not allowed to leave until you've met somebody. Say hello, grab some food. This is a church family. Praise God. Isn't God good? Heavenly Father, we come before you. I thank you, Jesus. These are your children called by your name, Lord God. I pray that you would go before them, Lord Jesus. They are blessed in their coming, blessed in their going, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. I pray that everything they put their hands to, Jesus, it would prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout of faith, we say about the Inland Empire, we say that the Inland Empire shall be saved. God bless you guys.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. In a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, but if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend. A spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you and so do we.